Okay, so my name is Tim Owen Jones and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 29th of September 2009 and the time's 12:15 in the afternoon. Can you please tell me your name, your age and where you come from?
Yep, my name's Jane Yule. I'm 44 and I'm from Hereford.
Okay, thank you.
That sounds like university challenge, doesn't it?
When was it you first found out about the One Another Project?
I read about it in the press, and when I heard about it in the press, I thought that sounds really interesting. And I think when I read an article about it in the press, there was a website or an email address, and I went and registered with that as soon as I read the thing in the paper because it sounded really interesting.
What was it that particularly struck you about the concept of the piece?
It was the fact of the it was a plinth in Trafalgar Square, but also Anthony Gormley, because I'm a big fan of his work, and I've been to see some of the sort of travelling exhibits of his. The field exhibition was in Gloucester Cathedral a few years ago, and I went to that, and that was amazing. And yeah, so it was Anthony Gormley really that was the impetus to get involved with it. So yeah.
And how did you feel when you received the email to say you'd been allocated a
yeah,
spot?
Really excited. I it was like, whoa. And I spent a lot of time thinking about what am I going to do, and then put it a bit to one side. I told quite a lot of people about it, some of whom, I think the majority of them were like, what, they'd never heard of it. But one or two had also heard of it and were very excited about it. And then I thought, I just need a bit of time to kind of reflect on the fact that I'm going up there and what I'm going to do. Yeah, so I spent a bit of time just not thinking about it in the hope that some kind of thought would come to me about what I was going to do up there.
So what have you decided to do for the duration of the hour?
Well, what I've decided to do is to dress myself up as the logo for Amnesty, which is like a candle with barbed wire twined round about it. And the reason for doing that is because as I've been thinking about what I'm going to do and why I'm going to do whatever I am going to do, it sort of occurred to me that the whole point of this is that we can get up there and say whatever we want and do whatever we want without any kind of backlash. And, you know, in a lot of countries and for a lot of people, they can't even say things which are even moderately inflammatory or that go against the regime of the day without, you know, the most severe consequences. And it just made me think that we're really lucky to be able to get up there and do that, and our own freedom and our freedom of speech is something that we shouldn't take for granted, really. So that was why I decided to do it. I've also been reading quite a lot of fiction set in Afghanistan, which is just deeply depressing. And yeah, the thought that I can get up and do this and say that and I'm not going to be stoned or have limbs chopped off and things like that, you know, there's not going to be kind of outrageous consequences to just saying what you want, or, you know, singing or flying a kite or whatever you choose to do, really.
Can you elaborate a little more on, you know, some of those themes of fiction, you know, that you've been reading and stuff? How's that kind of, you know, affected you? Can you go a bit more into that?
Yeah, it's well, obviously the whole kind of topic of Islam at the moment, and the way that you know, Islam's had an effect on the whole world really since 9/11 and that kind of thing, I think that's resulted in there being a lot more fiction written about Afghanistan. It's a nation that we're quite ignorant about, I think, but it has made, well, it's an old thing anyway, it's made me think a lot more about religion and how it affects people's lives. But I guess, you know, with all of these books, they're trying to put a message across, but I do find it increasingly hard to reconcile how regimes like that, which are driven essentially by one religion or another, can ever be free, really. It seems to me, and perhaps this isn't it's not a very PC thing to say, but it seems to me that Islam and the way it's interpreted around the world, pretty much without exception, seems to be an oppressive religion, or it's used by oppressive regimes. I know that there's always the reasoning that you can take the religion and you can make it say whatever you want, but it seems to me that Islam is a religion that's used in that way more than any others, really. There doesn't seem to me to be a theme of tolerance within Islam, whereas with other religions there is a bit of acceptance and tolerance and so on. And so it's been quite depressing, really. The situation in Afghanistan is depressing, really, isn't it? So I don't know what the outcome of that will be. And I think if you look at the history of Afghanistan, going back thousands of years, it seems to be a battle-torn country, really. I don't know whether that will change. But I think one of the things that you can make anything better for people is to give them at least freedom of speech and educate them. You know, the fact that children and girls, especially in countries like Afghanistan, can't go to school and can't, you know, can't contribute to their societies is wrong on every level, really.
So who would you say you're going on the plinth for?
Who am I doing it for? Ultimately, it's got to be myself, really. I don't know, that's quite a hard question to answer, I think, because, again, I'm not an exhibitionist kind of person. I'm not the kind of person at parties that gets up and does karaoke or all that kind of stuff. However, I do think that having got this project here, you've got the plinth and you've got the chance to do it, I kind of feel you've got to overcome your inhibitions, if you like, and get up there and do it, because it's there and because of what it is. And I think in time to come, when you look back at it, you know, I'll be really glad that I was part of this thing, for better or for worse. You know, I've heard people describe it as being like art for the Big Brother generation, I think was one quote I read from it. And I don't think that's the case, actually, because today is the first day I've actually seen people, you know, physically live on the plinth. Obviously, I've seen it on TV and on the website and so on, but this is the first time I've been down and actually seen people, you know, standing in front of me on the plinth. And it's quite surreal, really, because you've got all these other statues, these, like, you know, static things, and then there's people up there, and people, it's the reactions of people going round about as well, because obviously there's some people sitting looking at them or standing looking at them, but it's the way it's kind of, people seem to accept it as part of the everyday. I guess it wasn't like that at the beginning, there's more people watching, but it's quite funny the way it just seems to be part of, you know, what's going on just now in Trafalgar Square. I don't know. Looking back, I don't know whether I'll think, should I have done it differently, or should I have done more, or whatever, but I don't know. I think you've just got to go for it, really.
So how would you describe yourself as a person?
Well, as I say, what I don't think I am is a terribly exhibitionist kind of person, but I've got things that I believe in, and I kind of believe you've got to just do those things. And so there's certain, and as my life has gone on, you know, there's certain charities and organisations that I've supported at different times. I think your priorities change, and I'm not a member of Amnesty now. I have been a member of Amnesty in the past, and then, you know, things sort of change, and I support a couple of charities regularly, NSPCC and the Red Cross. I give to by direct debit, but I think after today I'm going to start supporting Amnesty again, because I do think that there's lots of good causes out there, and it's finding, you know, that if you can spread yourself too thin, you've got to just, like, you know, choose a couple and stick to them, really. But I what kind of person am I? I have quite strong beliefs in things. I'd like to think I'm quite principled. I don't necessarily go with the flow. I don't, you know, I think there's lots of stuff that people do, and I just think they do it for the sake of it, really. I think you've got to be true to your own beliefs, really, and I think that's quite hard. It's something that I try and instill in my own children, is that it's not always easy to do what you want to do, or what you think is the right thing to do, or not the right thing to do, but the popular thing to do. Sometimes most of your mates are doing one thing and you do that because they are doing it, but that's not always the way to go. You should do what you want to do regardless. You don't have to go with the flow, really. And I think if you learn that lesson when you're young, you don't have to go with the flow, you can do what you want to do, then I think that's a good life lesson, really, to have. It's not always easy, but you've got to do it, I think.
And can you give us a little bit of insight into your family background as well, then? You mentioned your boys.
Yeah, I'm originally from Scotland. My parents are still in Scotland, a brother in Scotland, another brother in Spain. But I lived in the Midlands for a long time, in Birmingham for a while, and then more recently, for the last 12 years, in Herefordshire, which is very rural. My husband Gordon's also from Birmingham, but we met when we were living in Worcestershire, so we've sort of lived out there for all the time we've been together. And I've got two boys who are 8 and 7. And they're great, really. You know, it's a hard thing to describe. You know, one of my children asked me the other day, actually, which made me really laugh. He said, "Were you lonely before you had children?" I said, "Yeah, I have to think really hard about what my life was like before children. It's good now, but it was good then." You know, it's just different now and different then. You know, it's great. You know, I've I've been delighted with my children. They're great. But, you know, again, it's they're not with you for very long. I can't believe my little one had his seventh birthday last week, and I know that before I can even blink, they'll be off, they'll be gone. And I think, you know, it's that, that's what life is. You've got to accept change. I think that's good. I've always quite liked change. I think that's good. I don't like, sometimes change is hard, but I think as your children get bigger, I've enjoyed every stage of my children's lives, and I hope that carries on. I don't regret them growing up or getting bigger or anything like that. It's always interesting and fun to see what they, you know, what they do, and I hope it stays like that. Really. They're not teenagers yet, but I hope it stays like that.
And what kind of stuff do you get up to with them? What do you do in your spare time when you're not?
They're both quite outdoorsy boys. Well, we live in the country anyway, so we do quite a lot of outdoor stuff. But they're quite different. My older boy, Finlay, he's very keen on his bike. He does mountain biking. Him and his dad do mountain biking. I bike, but no, I don't do serious downhill stuff because it's too scary. And both of them have injured themselves. They both had identical injuries within 6 months of one another. Both broke their collarbones biking. So I'm not so keen on that. I do quite a lot of stuff. I do a lot of active stuff, but I've started to get back into yoga. I'm going on a yoga holiday to India on my own with a group of other people, but not with my family, in November, which I'm totally looking forward to. A bit of time where I can just focus on myself. But yeah, we do a lot of outdoor stuff. A lot of sort of things. My littler child doesn't like going out, so there's always a bit of a conflict because he just likes being at home. When he's not at school, he likes to be at home. And wherever we stay, if we came to London for the weekend, where we'd be staying in London would be home as far as he was concerned, and he wouldn't want to come out. He wouldn't want to come to Trafalgar Square. He wouldn't want to go to places. When we go out, he loves it, but he likes being at home. He likes playing his games. He likes playing cards. He's got stuff, you know, he's got all this kind of stuff that he likes to do, and he likes to just potter about at home, really. So the different personalities, we just got to find things that all of us like to do, which is sometimes difficult, but you know, we manage.
And how about professionally, what have you?
My background is in IT. I did IT training for a long time, and sort of developing databases for people, which I've done really since my children have been little. And more recently, I've done a variety of other sort of like jobs in between, but I've just started working in a school in Hereford as an administrator, which is quite different to anything I've done before. But yeah, it's good fun. But it's just, it's quite full on. From, you know, the minute I start at 8 o'clock, finish at 2:30, and most days I come in and it's like, oh my God, it's 2:30, it's time to go home now. Every day is really, really fast moving and different, but it's good. You know, I like the school, like the children, it's good, but it's pressure. I've only really started to get more into school stuff since having my own children, because I'm a governor at the school that they're at, and it kind of makes you a bit more interested in what goes on, because it's amazing the variation in standards between one school and the next. And that kind of ties in with the way I feel, really. I think, well, you know, it's up to you as an individual to be part of your community and to contribute to your community. And I think I read somewhere, I think it was perhaps on a training course I was on, that being a school governor is one of the most common voluntary you know, roles that people take on, you know, throughout the country. There's thousands and thousands of them, but it's great. It's really interesting to do it, regardless of whether or not. And sometimes having children at the school that you're a governor at is a bit of a conflict. It might be easier, I think, if you didn't have children at the school. You have to kind of split your loyalties a bit, but it's been great. I've really enjoyed it, and it's really through that, I think, I've started working in schools. You know, it's good.
So what kind of plans, thoughts, hopes, fears do you have for the future?
I don't know. I suppose your immediate fears are just, or not fears, I don't have fears, and I don't really, I'm quite an optimistic person. I think that you've got to just think that things will work out, and they usually do work out for, you know, for however, things will happen regardless of what you whether you worry about them. You know, bad stuff is going to happen sometimes, but worrying about it isn't going to make it any worse. I mean really you just want your children to be happy and to be able to do the things that they want to do, and not be kind of bound by all this other stuff that seems to be such an issue. You know, you just want them to be able to afford somewhere decent to live, and to live wherever. You know, if they want to come to London, it would be nice to think they could come to London and afford to live there and do whatever job they wanted to do without it being, you know, inaccessible. I think, and it's the same where we live now, in the country. It's like all the villages in the country are lived in by retired people who don't want new houses, so there's no more young people moving in there, there's no families, and it just becomes fossilised, really. I just want them to be able to have freedom to do the things that they want without it being a major issue, really. And I think in our country we can be a bit hidebound when it comes to new stuff. It's like we're a bit knee-jerk, you know, no, we don't want new houses, no, we don't want this, no, we don't want that, rather than yes, let's give it a go, really. You know, there's not enough of yes, let's give it a go. You know, I think there's a lot of people saying no to things on the basis of, you know, I don't know, fear rather than, you know, a positive idea. So I'm not fearful about the future, really. Perhaps that flies in the face of what you read in the newspapers, but you know, I think things will work out, really.
And how's it been? How does it feel being one of 2,400 people that get to experience the One Another Project as a piece of art?
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And you know, I'm really looking forward to, you know, having, I deliberately haven't, I've looked at the website a bit and I've looked at some of the things other people have done, but I kind of deliberately haven't done too much of that because I think you can be influenced a bit by looking at what other people are doing. And I think part of what, you know, one should do is just sort of think about what am I doing up there and what is important to me and why am I doing it, you know. And obviously there's a variety of things you can do, and I've chosen to do what I'm going to do. There could have been other things, but this is how it's turned out, and that's fine. But I'll be really interested at the end of it to sort of look at a summary, if you like, and look at what other people have done and why they've done it, and you know, their motivations and things like that, which I'm sure will be incredibly diverse, really. Yeah.
Cool. So how are you feeling 30 minutes before you go up on the plinth?
All right, actually. Not as nervous as I thought I would be. I've been more nervous in the run-up to it and sort of panicking a bit about what I'm going to do. But I'm just thinking, oh, well, you know, I'm here now. So there's a limit to, you know, how much can go wrong or whatever, or how much of a fool you can make it. I think that's the thing as well. Is one of the things you think is, oh, am I going to make a complete arse of myself, really? And again, even if you do, it doesn't matter. Worse things have happened, you know what I mean? No one's going to be dead, so you know, it's all right. You know, you can make a fool of yourself and life still goes on just the same. It's okay. So that's quite good too. Yeah, so yeah,
is there anything else you'd like to say for the record?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm just looking forward to the next hour or two, and I'm going to enjoy the day, really. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
No, thank you.